Atheist Nomads, episode 320, Conversations with God.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me right now is Tony, but we'll get back to him. Lauren will be with us in just a little bit. You will know when she starts talking. She is trying to calm down Kylie because we are recording on a Friday night because it's Saturday morning or noonish in Australia where Tony is coming from. From the Conversations with God podcast, his name is spelled either T-O-N-Y or T-O-N-E, or maybe it's toe knee, as in your toe and your knee on your leg. I'm not quite sure. Maybe he can clarify that for us. He is the host of one of the most appalling and yet wonderfully hilarious podcasts on the internet. And it is absolutely, completely a perfect waste of listening time. And I highly recommend it, where he attempts to have meaningful conversations with Maggot Mouth himself, a.k.a. the Lord God Most High. Tony, welcome to Atheist Nomads.
What a beautiful, beautiful way to bring me onto the show. That's very kind. Thanks for all your kind words. And thank you. It's been great chatting to you.
So which kind of Tony are you?
It depends. It really depends on how I'm feeling, but generally T-O-E-K-N-E-E.
Okay.
Toe and knee. When I lived in England, we had this kids' TV show called Take Heart. And the guy on it was called Tony Hart. And he was an artist, and he used to sort of show kids how to do drawings. And it's just funny. His name is Toe, Knee, Heart. I don't know why I just told you that, but that's kind of where it comes from.
Okay. And when you started the Conversations with God podcast, and is the full name of it Conversations with God podcast or conversationswithgod@gmail.com?
Again, that depends, but I haven't got a funny story about a kids' TV program for that. It just depends. I just like it to be irreverent and very silly. So sometimes I'll just call it the Conversations with God podcast at gmail.com, or I'll just call it Conversations with God, or Convo with God pod, or CWG. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever mood takes me.
And does repeating the email address over and over like that get you more emails?
No, it's actually had the opposite effect. I try and do that, but it obviously you find it a little bit annoying. But it's like,
oh, I find it hilarious.
In the 90s, when they'd start putting subliminal pictures in TV ads to make you do things, I kind of thought it might work like that, but sort of orally. But obviously, it hasn't, because no one ever emails the show. Apart from to complain about it, which is hilarious when people do complain.
All right. And with it being Conversations with God, did God call you to do this podcast, or did you call him up and say it was a good idea?
It was actually me in a moment of desperation. Things weren't going well at work. There was this big promotion at work that I was going for, and my nemesis kind of got the promotion. And in a moment of desperation, I dropped to my knees and I'm like, God, why Chris Phillips, not me? Why didn't I get the job? And that's when he spoke to me.
Okay.
And after a frank sort of back and forth, I said, well, thanks for your honesty, but the rest of the world needs to hear this. They need to hear from you. You've been hiding for a long time now. It's time to sort of face the music and try and, get your point across to the masses. So with some negotiation and stipulations, we agreed to do 2 20-minute podcasts a month. Sometimes they're shorter. Unfortunately, some of them are a little bit longer, and we get complaints about that, but we do try and keep it. We do try and keep it around 20 minutes. In fact, we've just launched one, today, and it's called Blasphemy and Swearing.
Oh, nice.
And it actually went on for about 48 minutes. So it's going to be in two parts instead, because there's no way I can inflict that sort of 48-minute podcast on anybody. It's just not fair.
Okay. Then I guess the answer to my question, original question, would be that you called up God and then he called you to do the podcast. Sort of.
When we were talking back and forth about why I didn't get the promotion, I mean, it's interesting how he intervened in such an important matter.
Right.
I was like, well, you know, we really need to sort of, it'd be good to encapsulate your thoughts, and then I can ask you questions. I can be like a conduit, if you will, between the people and God, a sort of like a modern day less beardy Jesus. And that's kind of how it sort of happened. And I think we're about 45 episodes in now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was listening last summer, I think. Yeah. Is that okay. Right? Yeah, time's
apologize.
Weird. Yeah, I've been listening a while. Then who's your target audience with this?
That's a really good question. I target audience is, okay, let's take a little bit of a step back. I suppose what I want to do with the podcast, in all seriousness, is there's a lot of seriousness in the world these days. There's always been a lot of seriousness, but there's a lot of seriousness at the moment. And there's a lot of seriousness in the atheist community in general as well. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do was create something that kind of lightened the mood a little bit and put a smile on people's faces, both non-believers and believers. But I don't think many believers would smile if they heard it.
No, they would not.
and I wouldn't want to limit it even just to the atheist community. You know, I'm kind of a broader audience as well. So people that like satire, people that like comedy. That's what I'm trying to create, is an environment where people can just come and have a bit of a laugh at silly ideas. I suppose I'm not making any comparison to, but a lot of my inspiration would be drawn from sort of that Monty Python style Life of Brian sort of humor.
All right.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're doing, is we're trying to make something that just, A, that's unique, that hasn't been done before, and B, makes people laugh and smile and just gives them 20 minutes of light entertainment every now and again.
So kind of the antidote to like my podcast, which covers a lot of news that is often depressing right now.
Well, not so much your podcast, but there's a lot of podcasts out there where it's kind of the same thing over and over again. And I'm not criticizing anybody's podcast. I'm just saying there's a lot of podcasts where it's just, say the debate format, where mm-hmm. it's just people just digging in harder on each side and not really getting anywhere, and who can be the smartest. More what we want to create is something that just makes you smile and think a little bit, and just makes you realize how ridiculous the concept is, and how pervasive it is, and how ridiculous it must seem to, you know, if an alien species came down to Earth and saw the God and how we sort of worship it and Christianity and all that, how ridiculous they'd perceive it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to do, is I'm not trying to have a go at religious people. I'm going straight to the man. I'm having a go at God and pointing out all of the obvious low hanging fruits that are there to be taken.
Right, and you know that was one of the things that when you when we swapped promos, I listened to your show, and I was like, okay, I've got to do better than just a generic promo. I need to ask God some questions and turn that into a promo. And it was a lot of fun. But one of the things that really impressed me is I've been podcast doing an atheist podcast for a long time. I've been listening to atheist podcasts for even longer. And they've all been either news, interviews, or educational, or some combination of the three. Yours is the first that I would say is really unique.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to do. Because obviously I've listened, I'm the same as you, Dustin. I'm driving a lot from my job. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And it's like, yeah, there must be a new format, something different.
And you found one. That's awesome.
Cool.
So do you do the voice of God, or is that somebody else?
It was God.
Okay, so then really, are you on our show, on my show, to tell me that we're wrong?
Yes. All of these atheist podcasts, you're wrong. No, it would be, look, Dustin, to be honest with you, how ridiculous would it be if I was hosting a podcast where I spoke to myself?
Not at all. Considering most people talking to God are talking to themselves,
it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It would fit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. So basically, yeah, it is. I'm talking to myself.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all scripted, obviously. So it's very different to sitting down and having a conversation. It takes quite a while. I think we worked out it's 6 to 7 hours to produce 20 minutes of content, you know, from writing to then recording to then adding the bits of music, writing the bits of music, editing, listening, making sure the flow of the conversation's right, because create a conversation
with
between
yourself.
Two people, with yourself. Yeah,
yeah.
You have to listen for the right timings and to make it sound like it's flowing properly. Hopefully over time that's improving, but yeah, it's a lot of work to create 20 minutes of audio. As I'm sure,
yeah.
I mean, being a podcaster yourself, you know, it takes a long time to research the questions, the actual booking for you guys. It's hard to book guests. I would imagine it takes a lot of time to book people to get on, especially when they're on the other side of the world as well. So yeah, it's a long process to produce a podcast.
Oh, there's a reason why you're the first person since, I want to say 2013, maybe 2014, joining us from Australia.
Okay.
It is a pain in the ass to schedule halfway around the world.
Yeah.
Worth it. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Lauren. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
And I actually have a hard enough time scheduling people who live around the corner.
Seriously. Right around the block.
Yeah.
It almost seems as if the closer, it's like family, the closer they are, the harder it is to see them.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah, yeah. I know. I hear you. Yeah. So how close are you guys to the world's largest potato?
Ooh, depends on where it's at. I think it's
moving around, isn't it?
It did for a while, but I think it's finally settled down in Blackfoot or something. So probably about 300 miles.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's cool.
Well, as the crow flies or by highway?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Because if it isn't
Google Maps.
If it isn't Blackfoot, that would be
hotel.
That probably only be about 220 miles as the crow flies, but it'd be
No.
Oh, where is it?
It is actually in Ada County.
Oh.
So that's near us.
Okay. Is there like an app that you can get for your phone that tells you where the world's largest potato is at any one time?
Yes, actually Big Idaho Potato Hotel is the Airbnb.
Right.
Oh.
And wow.
So it came home. The potato came home to roost.
So it's not, now I'm going to really, I'm really going to put myself out on a limb here. It's not a real potato, is it?
No.
It's $200 a night.
That's not bad. I'll stay in that for $200.
Yeah.
Actually, the conversion rate would make it about 260, so it's a bit steep. If they threw dinner in, I'd stay in it.
And, it's not the only not a real potato that you can get in Idaho for ridiculously overpriced amounts. There is the ice cream potato that you can find at various fairs and events.
Delicious.
That is...
Sorry, ice cream potato.
Yes.
That's not right. What's that?
It's a vanilla ice cream... oval,
not soft serve.
Oval thing of ice cream that they roll in chocolate powder, and then they cut it like you would a potato and put like... whipped cream topping, and it's adorable and delicious.
And hard frozen.
Right, okay.
It is just wrong.
There you go. Yeah. It is wrong.
The actual potatoes that come out of the ground, those are the good ones. And
yeah.
We have a lot of variety of them here. We even have a burger joint called the Boise Fry Company.
Yeah.
The main course is the fry, and then you get the burger to go with the fried potatoes. And you have your choice of potatoes and your choice of meat or meat substitute. And yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so the Big Potato Hotel is somewhere between Boise and Mountain Home.
Okay.
So about 30 miles.
Yep.
Give or take 5.
Glad that's been cleared up.
Mm-hmm. Now that we have to go out there and get our picture taken with it.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely no. All right, let's go ahead and get into some news. The Fresno School District in California, and Tony, for you, that is on the southern half of the west coast of the United States. That is the coast that is on the Pacific Ocean. So only across the world's largest ocean from you, as opposed to, you know, all the way around.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. I've noticed you like to be very specific on your show, so I wanted to kind of provide that for you a little bit.
Thanks for that. Yeah, that's good. Detail is good.
So the Fresno Unified School District was offering a school chaplaincy program.
Okay.
They were partnering with the Fresno Police Department and Fresno Police Chaplaincy at a cost of $65,000 a year.
Oh my gosh.
To bring Fresno Police chaplains into the elementary schools.
Is this part of their outreach program? Like, you know how they send police officers to say, hey, we're not all bad guys who are going to shoot you in the back, except for you, black kid.
Oh, no. This was the Resilience in Student Education program to try to help kids figure out how to live their lives in this mixed up world that we're in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And telling them about an imaginary deity is going to really sort of get them on the right path, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not muddle things up even more.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were claiming that this was reaching 2,100 first grade students every week. So we're talking 6 and 7 year olds.
Yep.
Mm.
One of the chaplains described her experience on the chaplaincy program's website, and I quote, "My prayer is that God will continue to use me as a beacon of his light to the kiddos of Susan B. Anthony. God is able to take our ashes and turn them into something beautiful. I'm humbled and honored to be a chaplain to these children."
Yeah. Wow, so this is Fresno, California?
Yep.
That's so weird.
It is weird. And really scary.
Yeah, I mean, some of these kids haven't even figured out that Santa isn't real yet.
First grade, yeah. A lot of them would still believe in Santa and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and...
I can't imagine the parents in Fresno, California being all behind this. That's
no, they weren't, which is why they reached out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who started some corresponding with some back and forth letters with the school district. The end result of this was the termination of this program and it being replaced with the RISE, capital R, capital I, capital S, capital E, mentorship program for age-appropriate curriculum around resiliency, coping with bullying, and impulse control, where they're bringing police officers into the classrooms.
Okay, again, in Fresno, I wouldn't consider that much better.
It's a step in the right direction.
I guess, but there's a lot of people who'd be very uncomfortable about having cops talking to their kids all the time.
To be honest, I reckon they could pay me $65,000 US a year. And they could just play conversations with God to the kid.
There you go.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Boom, done. Problem solved. And the kids can even email in and ask questions. And then they can get them answered on the next episode.
Personal touch. That's nice.
That would be quite nice.
Yeah. And then we're kind of introducing children to the internet as well. Is that a good thing, Nick? Is that a good thing? I don't know.
They're already on the internet. Not. They already know more about it than you do.
Now, this is Fresno we're talking about. It's not necessarily one of the richest parts of California.
No, it's not, which is what really confuses me about this whole thing.
The median household income in Fresno is $44,905 compared to the California average of $67,700.
So they were giving this person quite a bit above the average pay grade.
Oh, they're cycling in volunteer chaplains. This was the amount of money they were paying the chaplaincy program for the police department to schedule pastors to go into schools wearing badges.
Well, if that's not a show of authoritative voice, I don't know what is. I think that, Tony, I think you should actually write the Fresno School District and say, hey, I got a pitch for you.
So Fresno has a poverty rate of 28.1%. And it is 49.3% Hispanic. It is only 26% just white. You know, after you factor in Hispanics that may or may not be white and mixed race people. And
see, I only ever met one person from Fresno, and she was shocked when she moved here that you didn't hear gunshots going to sleep.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of colored my view of Fresno, but I assumed it was kind of a gang-riddled area.
Yeah.
So I can see why they thought maybe bringing chaplains in, to tutor young children might help with that kind of background, but it's so wrong. It was so wrong the other way.
Now, I am really hoping...
Counselors, people, pay for some school counselors, please.
And I'm really hoping that they aren't just bringing in white cops.
Oh, you know they are.
Yeah, because if it's just white cops showing up in first grade with guns in a city that's only 26% white...
Yeah, what if a little kid says something about his parents? Are they mandatory reporters? Are they... I mean, oh, geez. What a minefield.
Yeah. So it's a step in the right direction. It's at least gotten it out of definite constitutional trouble and out of the realm of what the FFRF cares about.
Okay. Just murkier.
It's still murky. It's not just straight up wrong.
Okay.
And unconstitutional.
Hey, we have to celebrate every little win, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And Tony, in Australia, do they still have chaplains in schools?
Do you know, I don't think so, no. They're in religious schools, but not in secular schools.
And are the religious schools funded by the government?
Good question. I don't know that either. But I do know, because where my son goes to school, there is a chaplain, inverted commas, but it's a secular school, but there's no religion. It's just basically...
Oh, another name for a counselor, basically.
Yes, basically, yeah, they call it that. And as soon as I saw the email, I was like, well, hold on a minute. And they're like, no, call you Jets. It's just basically another word for a counselor.
Okay.
And they're just there for if any students want to go and have a chat about anything. But they are like a proper certified counselor.
Okay.
Not just someone who thinks there's a massive bearded thing floating in space.
So still better than what Fresno is doing, either in the past, last school year or this school year.
Yeah.
Since at least it's people competent to...
Yeah, qualified people to deal with young human beings.
All right, let's go ahead and move on with news. Marianne Williamson had a tweet where she said, "The Bahamas, Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas may all be in our prayers now. Millions of us seeing Dorian turn away from land is not a wacky idea. It's a creative use of the power of the mind. 2 minutes of prayer, visualization, meditation for those in the way of the storm."
Yeah.
This is a person who is running for president of the United States.
Because a president... our presidency is basically like a game show, and those are the quality of people we attract, are people who...
Well, if a game show host can become president, so can an author.
Oh, he was a game show host, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The celebrity or something.
Apprentice. And then celebrity apprentice and knockoff apprentice. Well, not knockoff apprentice, but he did a bunch of apprentices.
But thinking about the principle behind this, though, guys, is if you can pray away a storm, then surely that everybody involved in the praying should be sort of at a children's cancer ward all day, every day.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If they can have that effect, then don't worry about a storm. Let's just sort of solve all the sick kids that are in the world with your prayer.
Now,
so why we're all in our nice big houses and there's a storm coming over there. Let's pray to that. Sort of just like...
Yeah. Why are you wasting your time?
it's like people that can that do healing with crystals or that sort of thing. Well, if they can heal, you should just go straight to the children's hospital. Don't stop. Don't pass go. Just straight there. That's it. Go and do your work there.
Well, apparently they were more concerned about Alabama.
Good point.
Which did not hit.
No, it was never going to hit.
It worked.
That's true. It worked. His Sharpie pen magic worked.
So it protected Alabama and destroyed two of the Bahamas.
So sad.
Two islands basically completely leveled.
Sad. So sad.
Now, rather than
the world,
if you want to look at it from a standpoint other than thoughts, changed the direction of the storm and caused it to stall on top of two islands with people living on them.
It's okay for them to get it.
It's okay. Yeah. They're brown people. Yeah. They don't care.
There were white people there too.
There are some.
They put one on the news.
Aww. It's like, here, people, you should care.
Now, his was a very tragic story while his house was flooding.
Is this guy whose wife drowned right in front of him?
Yeah.
Oh.
While he was clinging onto the cupboards that were dissolving. MDF is a great building material until your house fills up with water. Warm, warm, tropical water. And then it dissolves.
Yeah.
But what really happened there was a massive storm. Well, a hurricane formed, as happens over the Atlantic, because of the way wind flows off of the Sahara and interacts with the hot, humid, tropical water.
Right.
That starts the disturbances, which turns into storms. And if it encounters hot, tropical waters, it has a tendency to rapidly intensify, which happened in this case with water that was 86 degrees Fahrenheit in the Atlantic.
Well, that's warm.
That is really warm. That's like 23, 24, maybe even 25 degrees Celsius.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Really hot water. It'd be wonderful to swim in, but also really good for strengthening a hurricane. At the same time, if this was happening, there was a high pressure system over the southern United States, which caused the storm to get stuck on the Bahamas. Tied for the strongest hurricane to ever make landfall in the Atlantic Basin, and it got stuck on top of two islands.
Yeah, it was just terrible. The whole thing was just terrible.
So if there was a god involved in that, he's an asshole. Pure and simple.
Point made.
Yeah. Mm. So Marianne Williamson obviously got a lot of flack for saying, oh, you can pray and think it away. So she ended up responding, prayer is a power of the mind, and it is neither bizarre nor unintelligent. People of faith belong in the Democratic Party and will be necessary in the effort if we are to win in 2020.
She's not wrong.
She's not.
I mean,
she also went on.
She's not wrong, but she's deluded.
She also went on to specifically criticize the overly secularized left.
Yeah. It's just a perspective we're not used to seeing. They exist. They can do what they want. They just can't run for president and run a country like that.
Mm. Of course, they shouldn't be given the, you know, don't play with the sharp things.
She's probably would still do better than our current president.
Yeah, I'm not actually. Actually, oh, yes, you are
not that good.
You are correct that. Because, and as far as nobody could do a worse, it would be hard to imagine somebody could do a worse job.
Mm.
I'm not going to say it'd be impossible to do a worse job. They at least haven't fired all the bureaucrats yet. So for the most part, the government is still functioning. So it could be worse.
Yeah.
I just think it's a shame Arnold Schwarzenegger was born in Austria.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we need to outsource the presidential elections.
No.
That puts him out of the running, doesn't it? Because he was born abroad. You've got to be an American, yeah. Okay.
You don't necessarily have to be born in the U.S., but you have to be a natural-born U.S. citizen.
Okay.
And that has been tested once. George H.W. Bush was born in Panama.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. His dad was in the military and serving in the Canal Zone, and he was born in Panama.
Okay.
Which is considered natural-born U.S. citizen.
The more you know.
Mitt Romney's father ran for president and was born in Mexico.
True.
His parents were both American, but born in Mexico. And Ted Cruz was born in Canada. His dad was a Cuban citizen, but his mom was an American citizen, so he could still run for president. But okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger was born in Austria with two Austrian parents, so no.
It's a whole lot of dumb rules anyway.
Mm. Did you know that the co-inventor of the television remote control, Robert Adler, lived many years in Boise until he passed away at the age of 93.
Oh,
there you go.
Co-inventor. That's nice.
Yeah.
And
not the inventor, the co-inventor. So he
Farnsworth mm-hmm. supposedly invented the TV, and he was born out of Rexburg. So you go by Rexburg, which is a town in eastern Idaho, and they say home of the television, but that's not necessarily true. I think he invented the tube. The cathode tube.
Okay. Now, Rexburg, to be fair, feels less American than most of Europe.
Because they're so Mormon?
Yeah.
Well, cults need hometowns, too.
The best beer is at Applebee's, and the best coffee is at McDonald's.
Surprised they're even allowed to serve it there.
And by Best, those are also the only places to get those things there.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And another interesting fact, and I'm going to bore you here, about Boise, is that it's against the law, okay, this is true, to ride on a merry-go-round on Sunday in Boise.
I have done it.
I'm going to have to...
It's an old law. I don't think it's enforced anymore, but it is actually in law.
There is a carousel in the Boise Zoo that we have ridden on a Sunday, I think. So, oh dear.
Breaking the law.
Breaking the law. It is, priest. There are a lot of old laws here that are not enforced or enforceable.
You cannot fish off of a giraffe's back.
Yep.
In Boise. And I have to give you kudos. Okay. At least you're pronouncing it correctly.
Oh,
that is a point of contention, as many people say Boise with a Z at the end. But anybody who's from here actually says Boise.
Well, it's an easy way to tell who's actually from here.
My dad says it wrong.
And who's an outsider. And I was born 50 miles away in far eastern Oregon, so I learned how to pronounce it correctly. So I fit in as a local.
As long as you're not from California. Nobody likes California.
Everybody from California puts a Z in the name of a city that doesn't have a Z. But another interesting law here is that it is illegal for a single man to own sheep.
For obvious reasons.
And it is...
Well, yeah, men like lamb.
If you ever talk to anybody who grew up on a farm, who left the farm older than I was when I left the farm, because I didn't hear these stories until much later, yeah, bad stuff happens.
Or good, depending on how you, the perspective.
There's nothing good about that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Involved.
From the perspective of the teenage boy at the time, it might be good. For everybody else's perspective, including the sheep or cow, it is bad.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what town are you from, Tony?
So Queensland in Australia, but that's not the town. I suppose the town I'm in is Brisbane.
Oh, okay. That's one that's actually big enough that I know about it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what part of the UK were you from?
I was born in just south of Birmingham, which is right in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. I don't, but just so you can sort of relax, I don't have any more interesting facts about Boise.
Do you have any interesting... Do you have any interesting facts about Brisbane?
No.
Nothing. Nothing, huh?
I've got nothing.
Do you have a New Zealand restaurant in Brisbane?
What? Yeah, there's a New Zealand fish and chip shops. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a meat pie place that just opened up.
Meat pies.
It's really good.
Yeah, pies are good. But pies have to have pastry all the way around. See, sometimes you go out to a restaurant and they give you like a pot with the meat in. And then a pastry lid, and they call it a pie. That's no pie.
That's a shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie is lamb, which ties us back to the conversation we're having about sheep.
Do you have a place? Do you have any place where you're at with haggis pizza?
No.
That nobody does.
We used to.
We don't.
That's up there with the potato ice cream, I think.
We used to. It was really good.
Haggis pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it's all the good parts of haggis, not none of the bad parts.
No lung meat or lung flesh, because that's illegal in the US.
Isn't it a lung? Is it?
Yeah.
We have Dagwood dogs here.
Dagwood?
Oh!
Like a Dagwood sandwich?
Dagwood dog is like a hot dog on a stick that's dipped in batter and deep fried.
Oh, okay, we call those corn dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
We now have another corn dog episode.
Yes, because the batter here is usually made out of cornmeal. So they're called corn dogs.
I woke up this morning and I've learned so much about Boise and corn dogs.
So what kind of batter do you use there?
I imagine it's just like what you batter. Do you have like fish and chips, battered fish? Yeah, that sort of batter. You sort of dip it in that.
Okay. Then
So it's probably a little crispier than what we're used to.
It's crispy, and then you dip the whole thing in ketchup.
Yep.
Mustard is a favorite here. Got a lot of mustards.
Okay. What's your favorite mustard?
Well, just the boring yellow mustard is usually what you see around here, but I'm a fan of the brown stone ground mustards.
Okay. Yeah, don't mind stone ground.
Mm.
Yeah, I like English mustard as well. It's really hot. That's nice.
Hmm. Clear out your sinuses.
Does. Yeah, that'll do it.
we get that in Chinese restaurants.
Really? That's wasabi, isn't it? No, that's Japanese. No, we're going all over the world.
Hot mustards that are basically horseradish mustard combo. And most of the wasabi is just green dyed horseradish.
Yeah. Okay.
The Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that it is constitutional for the Pennsylvania House of Representatives to ban chaplains or guest chaplains who don't believe in a God or higher power from delivering invocations.
Boo. So no atheist, no agnostic, no...
No Satanists. Theoretically, this would mean no Zen Buddhists.
What? Oh, yeah.
And possibly no Unitarians.
Yeah. Suck. I'm sure that will not withstand law. Somebody's going to fight that.
Right. They have fought it. It went to the Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the ruling from the Circuit Court. It's going to go to the Supreme Court with two Trump appointees.
Well, that sucks, but we'll see. I like how there's a city in Australia called 1770.
It's a beautiful city as well. I've been there.
That is way up there.
It's not a city. It's like a little seaside town.
Oh, okay. 1770. Okay. Well, that's let's wrap this up. How come we're doing all these local news stories with a person from Australia on the phone?
I don't have any Australian news stories that showed up.
Oh, okay.
I guess there's not news here. It's just good.
It's just things trying to kill you.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay, look, it's not true. It's just what we tell Americans to keep all you mad religious people out.
No, see, you have no say in the matter because you're not in that part of Australia. You're over by the Coral Sea. I mean, you've got like a bay. Oh, man, this is beautiful. And then you go look at the rest of Australia. And it's like, oh, look at all that stuff trying to kill you.
No, we have redbacks here, which are related to the Black Widow.
Okay.
I hate fucking spiders.
Okay, we're not going to not going to talk about spiders.
We have huntsman spiders here as well, which are massive. They're like the size of your hand.
Yeah, they're gross.
Yeah.
I want a wombat.
I think that... Yeah. So how many poisonous spiders do you have there?
Exactly.
Like a species?
Okay,
or?
Let's go with a different way of putting this. How frequent... What percentage of days would you say you see a poisonous spider? So like half the time, all the time?
You're so weird.
Nah, so been here, what... 12 years, I've probably seen 4 or 5 redbacks.
Total spiders, though?
Not many, really, to be fair.
Okay.
Because I suppose we're kind of semi-rural, so there's quite a lot of people here. But if you go like in sort of Sydney, New South Wales, they've got like one of the most dangerous spiders in the world, like the Sydney funnel web. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Last time we had somebody from Australia on... his roommate's dog was in the backyard fighting with a snake.
Nice.
And there was like 20 snakes in the yard, which apparently was normal.
Well, they nest.
Yeah.
We had a big python across the road the other day outside our house. I mean, they're not poisonous. They're just massive.
Wow.
That's why I don't go to Florida.
Just across the road.
Uh-huh.
Just like blocking the road. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we just have rattlesnakes here.
Yeah, well, they're bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
No, they're bad, but they let you know that they're there.
Most of the time. Mostly.
Mostly. You're really screwed if you sneak up on one.
Oh, man. Any other news items?
The Democratic National Committee has finally decided that they want to acknowledge non-believers.
Finally. Jesus.
So in their...
Jesus Christ!
They had one abstention... Otherwise, it was a unanimous motion to acknowledge that a quarter of the U.S. population is non-religious, and a third of these non-religious people are members of the Democratic Party, and half are independent. So most of them are people they should be trying to get votes from.
Yeah.
So they said that they recognize, quote, the value, ethical soundness, and importance of the religiously unaffiliated demographic, a group of Americans who contribute in innumerable ways to the arts, sciences, medicine, business, law, the military, their communities, the success of the party, and prosperity of the nation. and that religiously unaffiliated Americans are a group that as much as any other advocate for rational public policy based on sound science and universal humanist values and should be represented, included, and heard by the party.
Awesome. Isn't it nice for somebody to finally acknowledge your very existence? That's...
Yeah.
Kind of a slap in the face, though, too. Like, backhanded. It's like, you guys are, you've been dicks to us for a long time.
Just less of dicks than the other guys.
Yeah. Slightly.
Now, in Australia, do your parties try to pander to religion?
Generally, no. Like, we've recently voted in a religious prime minister. But you know what? It doesn't really interfere with, or in my opinion, you wouldn't, it doesn't show, you know what I mean? It's not sort of,
what do they call that when, people use their religion as a, oh, it's like they wear it. I can't remember. Anyway.
Wear it on their sleeve.
That means that they're wishy-washy, right?
That means you just make it
more,
really awesome.
I'm not good with idioms.
Thing.
Yeah.
More of a cultural thing.
Well, here, they're so desperate to get votes from the 10% most religious people in the country, despite it's only 10%, mm-hmm. that they're willing to sacrifice everything for it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, and the Democrats have been playing to trying to win over the, it's more like 35% of the country that is super rabidly religious, who basically all voted for Donald Trump.
Right, they're not going to switch over to the DNC.
No. That ship sailed when the Democrats decided they wanted equal rights for black people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ended it. By the time they started embracing gay people, it was a non-issue at that point because the rabidly religious were gone already.
Yeah. All right, so now they can focus on us.
Yeah.
And how cool we are.
Which,
everyone gets a turn, that's fair.
Well, and... non-religious people in the U.S. are now as big of a voting bloc as evangelicals are. Actually, bigger voting bloc than evangelicals. If we get out and vote.
That's it. That's the key.
Yep.
Because, of course, voting is mandatory in Australia.
Right. Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Is it a holiday, too?
No, but you do get a sausage.
Wait, what? They give you meat?
You get a democracy sausage when you go and vote.
You're pulling my leg.
No, you go. There's always a democracy sausage. You go and queue up to vote, and there's somebody there with a barbecue, and they give you a piece of bread with a sausage
in
it.
Dude, that's so much better than a sticker.
You have hot dogs?
Yeah, democracy sausage. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, that
is... Oh my God! Look at that, democracy sausage Australia. Oh, this is amazing. We should totally start that.
It's an amazing country.
We should volunteer at the voting booth and you should grill hot dogs.
So not only. Do you not get fined if you go to vote, but they give you food?
It's often used as a fundraiser for schools or other institutions.
Yeah.
So the local school, you could raise money for the school by selling hot dogs at the voting booth.
We had to vote recently, and I took my son along, and we were walking towards the voting area, and he said to me, "Look, Dad, it's the democracy sausage." I'm like, "That's right, son. This is the country we live in. They give you a sausage as you vote."
That's amazing. I love it.
Wow. Okay, so the U.S. should look to Australia for how to do voting right. Ignore Australia.
How many more people you'd get if they were throwing sausages out left, right, and center.
Totally.
And if we got that many people voting, we'd probably handle refugees better than Australia does.
Oh.
Our last Australian guest made sure we were well aware of how Australia treats refugees in camps they run in Papua New Guinea.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not going to touch that one with the 10-foot pole. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Tony needs to go now, and we will continue on after he leaves, but it's the middle of his day, and we're intruding on the middle of the day. So, Tony, where can people find your podcast?
Okay. So, just use the Googles, Conversations with God podcast. We're on most of the platforms, and then we've got... we've got a Patreon as well, Convo with God Pod. Give it a listen. It's only short. It's not very good. But,
if you like self-deprecating humor, it's great.
Yeah, do. And if you want to hear what God actually sounds like, and if you want to hear him answer some difficult questions, then come and have a listen. We do things like God's Kitchen, God's Top 10 Diseases, Philosophy Corner, Questions from Mortals.
I was going to ask you to do one on parenting advice since we've got a 21-month-old. How did God handle the toddler years?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. We're actually going to be starting a new segment where he does answer people's questions like an agony aunt, like you write in with your love problems, and he's going to sort of, you know, answer.
Oh my gosh, those. Dear Abby. Dear Goddy.
Yeah, Dear Abby. I don't know what you call it in America, but it's like a dear, you know, my boyfriend,
awesome.
X, Y, and Z. He'll just give some really nice, subtle advice.
Oh, and I've been meaning to send you in some more questions, and I will.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Dustin and Lauren, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tony. All right. Continuing with the last couple, actually, one final news story.
Oh, okay.
We were almost done. And it's actually a local one. He had all these cool facts about Boise. And Ada County has updated their policies to include a prohibition on discrimination on grounds of a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. This only applies to Ada County employees, but it is now unlawful for LGBT people to be discriminated against in employment by Ada County.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I've learned is that Boise City is constantly fighting with the state on certain what's allowed and what's not allowed. They find loopholes, legislature closes them up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real mess. So the fact that they're finally able to do this, at least for the city.
No, this is for the county.
Oh, for the county. Okay, for the county.
Ada County. And for listeners who don't know Idaho geography, Boise is the capital of Idaho and the county seat of Ada County. Ada County contains Boise,
Meridian,
Eagle, Cuna, and
that's about
desert.
It. And lots of desert. Yes.
A lot of which is military training grounds and or overlapping
bird sanctuary. Which doesn't seem like a good combo, but it works.
It does.
Yeah.
The birds usually don't fly as high as the jets are.
Yeah. Well, I hope not.
Yeah. This is a step in the right direction. Actually, it's a pretty big step in the right direction. So this will apply to like the Ada County Sheriff's Department and various county staff. So yeah, that wraps up the news. We do have some feedback.
Yay, feedback!
A lot, actually. From Alex via Apple Podcasts or iTunes, depending on what platform you're on as to where you're going to find these. It is a 5-star review. This podcast brings me so much joy. Keep up the good work.
Aww. Oh my God, 5 stars. I feel like a little kid that just got a gold star. It's like, gold star for you and a gold star for you, and you get a silver star. Thanks for trying. But
from Rosalie via both Facebook and email, I picked the shorter version of this out of the two. Repudiate is a damn good word. Ask for the meaning as you did, but try not to insist on dumbing down the show, please. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. I was playing it up for comedic effect. It didn't go over well. Apparently some people thought I was serious when I told...
One person complained.
Oh, okay. One person complained, and no, I do not plan on dumbing down the show. I'm sure Dustin does not plan on dumbing down the show at all. It was just, it surprised me when a new word pops up, because I used to be very literate and used to know a lot of words. And but it was kind of cool to learn a new one. And yes, a part of me is like, well, why don't we just dumb it down a little bit? But no, when you're talking, especially if you're talking academic or historical stuff, I'm not going to throw a fit.
And I left in the clarification for a good example. When I first started blogging back in like 2 years before I started the podcast, half of the feedback I got was asking for the definitions of words.
Serious?
Yeah.
It's called Google.
Yeah.
Or dictionary.com.
Yep.
But okay.
Yeah. That was half of what I got. And I slowly, there was Google Scholar, which like at the beginning I was blogging at like a graduate level,
ooh,
which is really bad.
They say at most you want eighth grade.
I ended up settling out, I think, high school senior or college freshman level, which was good enough.
Yeah.
I try to keep the podcast to no more than college sophomore, but that's, I don't really try. I just talk in all practicality.
Word vomit. It's okay. Yeah. It happens.
But I did specifically with this one, I do sometimes edit stuff like that out. In this case, I chose not to because I thought it lightened the topic.
Mm.
I don't necessarily leave things in just to be funny. Sometimes I do leave things in that I think are funny. Other times I leave things in specifically just to lighten a heavy topic. I know sometimes that can be distracting for people, but this was a case where I thought it added to it, leaving in more.
Yeah.
And it actually was a case of an intentional editing decision.
Yes. And in case you haven't noticed, I act as the voice of mediocrity. when it comes to Dustin's educated, he has the educated voice. I have the uneducated voice. I make him stop and explain things that maybe the average person isn't aware of, doesn't understand, etc. That's why I was playing that up. But no, don't yell at me. I'm sorry.
From at MRRoach 2839 via Twitter. Great episode. Glad to see Dustin off the degree back.
Yay.
So that was about the same episode. Also about the same episode, Daryl via email. Hello there.
Daryl!
You've heard from a few listeners who are disappointed that Aaron is no longer a co-host, and I will add my voice to theirs. I am listening to episode 318, where you discuss some of the problems with political correctness. I've been listening to Guilty Feminist for a few years and absolutely love them. Their I'm a Feminist But segment gives me permission to not be perfect. Sincerely, Daryl. P.S. I'm on team Don't Give Lauren a Soundboard. I think it's far more entertaining when she's making it up as you chat.
Daryl, you backstabber.
I think we should all strive to do better. I think we should all strive to every day be a better person. I think it's okay to not be a perfect person.
Don't let perfection... What was it? Don't let perfection...
Be the enemy of good.
Yes, that's a good quote. Not a perfect quote. But a good quote.
Now, on the other hand, I am also kind of torn on, do we have another generation or at least part of a generation that's lost?
What?
I really hope that's not the case. But when you're correcting people, be humane. Just because somebody says something wrong, they're not a bad person. They just said something wrong. And a humane correction is a good thing to do.
Yes.
Wait until you're in the echo chamber to start slapping people up the side of the head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Venting space.
Yeah.
Is meant to be for vents.
And don't stumble into somebody else's venting space.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
The blogs I stopped reading was because I discovered, oh, crap, this isn't for me.
Yeah. It's funny looking back on that now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. From Aaron from Waiting for Wrath via email. There was some back and forth here. I sent him an email. He sent some that could be read and some that couldn't, and some in response to what I sent him. And it was a big, long, awesome, wonderful email to get. So thank you, Aaron. That was rambly. It's late. First of all, Jesus God fusion is hilarious. His wine is over 9,000.
Yes. But to- oh my God, this wine gets you so drunk.
But to mangle a meme, Gogeta promised us an end to Boo. Jesus promised an end to evil. Plenty of evil, not a lot of pink gumball monsters. Seems like the Church of Capsule might be the way to go.
Oh my God, I love you. Who was this? Who wrote this?
This is Aaron.
Aaron. Oh, I love you.
So I Googled Gogeta.
Oh God, no, you've got to have the whole season at least background to get all that. But what did you find?
That it's Dragon Ball Z. And it's like, okay, Lauren's going to like this. And it'll mean something to her.
The fusion dance. It's great. And Boo. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Thank you for getting it and running with it.
Okay,
Dustin's
I'm still
so
lost.
Confused. That's all right. You won't get it unless you watch it. So.
And from Rich via U.S. Postal Service.
Oh, classy.
Dustin, I stumbled across your little gem of a website searching for Ardor tutorials. Yours is the best I've seen so far. And yes, I do have some YouTube videos on how to do audio production on Linux. I am a couple of years behind on those, so I need to get back to it. Fall is coming, and we'll see which of the many projects that I want to do will end up actually happening.
Don't you mean winter is? Oh, wait, nope. Can't say it.
Winter is not coming yet. It is fall still coming.
It's also probably trademarked.
It might be. Anyway, back to the letter. By the way, loved your recent episode. I didn't catch your partner's name, but I assume she's your wife. Yes, that's Lauren.
Yay, me.
Let her know she has another fan out there. You two make a great team. The theology and history were very interesting, and your witty back and forth was delightful. I have recently quit listening to the news on the radio. Too disgusting, infuriating, and ultimately depressing. So I set up an old Mac, installed Ubuntu 18.04 on it in the kitchen counter, on the kitchen counter, and listened to your stuff while fixing chow. Looking forward to more. I've spent some time in Idaho and love the state, almost as nice as Southwest Washington. Later, Rich.
Nice. Aw. Thank you, Rich.
Yes, thank you, Rich. I'm glad we're adding enjoyment to your life and less infuriating than the news, despite the fact that we mostly do news.
Yeah, true.
On the support front, we did get a donation from Rich.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
So thank you, Rich. The letter came with a check, and if you want to send us money, that is an option.
Yes, we'll accept it via postal.
Mm-hmm. You can also send us money.
I also like handmade cards.
On a per episode via Patreon, monthly via PodFan, or one-time basis via PayPal. And if there's some other way you want to send us money, just let us know.
Yeah.
We will take it whatever way you want to.
Yeah, we're currently beefing up for Camp Nomad.
Yep.
So if you want to give us money to help make that an easier...
Yeah.
It will all... Of course, it'll be successful, but, you know, to make it a little bit easier, that would be great. We'll accept that. We'll buy an extra cinnamon roll.
And we aren't quite out of beds, but we can still take a few more people without having to start setting up tents.
Yeah.
Many more people we need to set up the pop-up camper, but we aren't quite to the point of pitching tents in the meadow.
Yeah.
Which I would love to get to that point. That is coming up September
20th.
20 to 22. And
right after Talk Like a Pirate Day and over the same weekend as Hobbit Day.
Also the Equinox.
Oh yes, and the Equinox. That's awesome. And you guys, the Milky Way will blow your mind up there. So I am bringing up a telescope.
If it's clear.
It should be. Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah. And the bison might be migrating.
And watch out for moose.
And there might be moose.
Okay. Done. We're...
Yep. All right. Lauren, thank you for joining me.
Yes. Thank you.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Pew, pew, pew.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.